Court has one case before it for oral argument this afternoon. Integrated Claim System versus Care and Care Insurance Company, number 16-2527. Mr. Ward, yes, you reserve 5 minutes of your time for rebuttal.
10 and 5, please, Your Honor.
Yes, you're going to go 10 and you're reserving 5.
Please.
Okay, you may proceed.
Good afternoon. The principal issue before us today is the board's determination that the patents in suit merely disclose the use of generic hardware with generic software. That's just not correct. We can quibble about the hardware, but more pertinent here is the software that is identified in the patents. Specifically, if you could turn to Claim 6 of the 020 patent, which is at the appendix, page 214. You'll see that Claim 6 calls for the digital device as recited in Claim 1, wherein the digital device is a server responsive to specialized software. Our position, Your Honors, is that there is absolutely nothing generic about Dr. DiRienzo's specialized software. This is identified in the specifications as AIC software, and it's referred to over 50 times in each of the patents. The software allows for the creation of customizable forms for each insurance company, and it's described in detail on the joint appendix, page 208, and it runs essentially the entire page, columns 13 and 14, most particularly from column 13, line 11, through column 14, line 28. Starting at column 13, Dr. DiRienzo identified suitable programming languages, commercially available software packages that could be used as a platform for creating this AIC software, and then provides a detailed description of how this AIC software works. And if I could just direct your attention briefly to the next page of the appendix, 210, column 18, starting at line 66 at the very bottom of the page, the goals of the AIC and accomplishments of the AIC software are described. It reads, with the AI system described above, the use of fields, the customizable claim form, and the placing of coordinated AIC software at both the service provider's office and the insurance company has eliminated the need for standardized forms. The result is that each insurance company gets exactly the information it wants and has it displayed in exactly the way it wants. Thus, the compromise of a standardized claim form, as is required with the present NEIC system, is avoided. So what the AIC software really allows that had never been done before is that you can take an attachment such as an X-ray, digitize it, and enter it into one of the fields of the customizable form. So it's never separated from the rest of the data that is inserted into the form that goes to the insurance company. The forms are dynamic in that they change based on information as it's entered. And quite frankly, this functionality is not something that was available anywhere else when these applications were filed in 1997. The forms that Dr. DiRienzo discloses here are XML-like. At the time of filing, the common forms were HTML. They're different. XML files have to do with the description of information in the form, while the older HTML files deal with the display of information. So what Dr. DiRienzo provided here was something that was being worked on in industry at the time, and there's an article that we had cited to the board at one point by Tim Berners-Lee, who invented the Internet, who was working with these forms at that time, in 1997. So they were not in the prior art. They were not in commercially available products like Lotus or Java, which Dr. DiRienzo identified as platforms that could be used to build the software he was calling for. This was something new, and it should not be deemed generic because it clearly is quite specialized and was identified so throughout the specifications and the claims. And further, the customizable forms that Dr. DiRienzo helped invent here have been covered in at least three other United States patents that have been issued to him over the course of the years. Finally, on this point, it's worth noting that although this software is described in some significant detail, particularly in columns 13 and 14, the board never cited to these columns in its decisions. We also have something of a problem with some of the things the board did rely on. Specifically, the board continually pointed out its opinion that the hardware and software disclosed in the patents was routine and well known. Unfortunately, it provided absolutely no support for that position. In fact, the only support it provides when it makes these comments is in the reference to the background of Dr. DiRienzo's patent. So Dr. DiRienzo, in an attempt to honestly explain the prior art, describes the situation that exists, the problems that exist with the incompatibility between standard computers and mainframes, and comes about with a solution to this problem. And in his description of how these technologies developed, he provided a fairly detailed background. And in shooting down the inventiveness and of these concepts, the board relies on nothing else other than Dr. DiRienzo's own background explaining the state of the art. This would certainly seem to violate the recent Berkheimer case, where the court determined that questions of fact, determined that whether something is routine or well known to one of skill in the art is a question of fact. And there were no facts in the board's decision in support of its conclusion. The board finally also ignores the inconsistencies in its finding that these inventions were well known and routine, because it doesn't point out or acknowledge that although these patents were filed in 1997, it wasn't until 2003 that the insurance industry started to adopt this method of operation, the insertion of digitized attachments into computer software fields. So if the problem, as pointed out by the board, was merely one of inefficiencies, and these inventions were simply routine and well known, it does not explain why it took the insurance industry, which was looking for solutions and which you would presume would want efficiencies, didn't get around to adopting this method of operation for almost 6 years. And if I could, I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Kutry, did I get your name right?
It's Kutry, Your Honor.
Kutry, okay.
Thank you. May it please the Court. This Court should affirm the Board's holdings in the 6-2, 6-3, and 6-4 proceedings below, which canceled or otherwise invalidated all of the challenge claims in the 020 and 609 patents. The first thing I wanted to point out is that, as Your Honors may be aware because of the filing yesterday by ICS, a previous board of the Patent Office in the Travelers proceeding has already confirmed that the 020 patent, one of the two patents that's at issue here, is CBM eligible, and they have concluded that certain of the claims that are at issue here are unpatentable under Section 101. That holding was appealed to this Court. I believe, Judge Rayner, you're on that panel. And this Court affirmed via Rule 36, ICS appealed to the Supreme Court. In the interim, they asked for an en banc hearing. That was denied. They appealed to the Supreme Court, and yesterday, the Supreme Court denied cert. So as we sit here today, claims 27, 30, 36, 42, 43, 45, and 50 through 52, and if Your Honor has our brief, the response brief on page 15, we tried to create a table that isolates what was at issue in Travelers, but we have that list of the, we call them the already invalidated claims. They're essentially the non-patentable claims of the 020 patent. So as we sit here today, I know that the appellant said that they wouldn't be arguing about those claims today, but in fact, we do have to have argument about those claims because in their briefing, the fact that those claims are invalid under 101 disposes of this entire appeal. In the briefing below and here, ICS has always taken the position that these claims in the 020 patent, all of them, rise and fall together. And if you look at their brief on page 41, this is their opening brief, they say that all the claims filing of the 020 patent rise and fall together, stating that, quote, they are, quote, not unpatentable under 35 U.S.C. Section 101 for the same reasons. So we're looking at page 41. Simply put, there's no credible basis anymore. If you look at 41 of their brief, on the bottom paragraph, for the reasons stated above, they basically treat the independent claims of the 020 patent and the independent claim of the 609 patent together. They have one omnibus set of arguments. And then they say the dependent claims are rise and fall together. But as you can see, claim 27, which is listed in the first sentence, 42 and 50 are already invalid as we sit here today. They've been canceled for claiming non-patentable subject matter under Section 101. There are no more appeals. There's simply no credible basis any longer to argue that these claims are not invalid under Section 101. Similarly, one of the issues in the Travelers proceeding was whether these claims that are at issue here were subject to the CBM proceedings. That's an issue that the appellant lost. They've exhausted all of their appeals. These patents are eligible for CBM proceedings, and they are invalid under 101. We're now up to five courts, and we hope there will be six after this court that have all looked at these issues, and they've all concluded that these patents are directed to non-patentable subject matter. And there's no distinction across the patents made by the appellant in any respect. So there's an additional reason that the 020 patent, the challenge claims, are invalid here, and that has to do with Lech and Beezer. And so when the appellant says that this was brand new and this had never been done before, that again flies in the face of the fact that there is prior art, the Lech patent, that anticipates many of the claims, and then Lech combined with Beezer renders the remaining claims of the 020 obvious. What's interesting is that the Lech patent is actually the patent that's at issue in content extraction. So in Your Honor, in this court's holdings in content extraction, if you look at those claims, this court said that those claims are directed to essentially moving information around in fields. That's not patentable subject matter. that patent anticipates the claims here, and indeed some of the claims of that Letch patent are used to anticipate certain of the claim elements here. So our position is that these patents are invalid on many different bases or otherwise not patentable subject matter. I do want to talk briefly about the fields argument. Appellant's counsel did not directly say this, but they took you to a portion of the specification where they said there was a discussion of fields. There are discussions of fields in their brief as well. First, the discussion of fields from a claim construction position was never presented below and should not be considered here. Indeed, all of the arguments that you just heard were not actually presented directly as, you know, you should be interpreting the claims via the word field to incorporate all this allegedly specialized software. On claim 26 of the, there are, by my count, in the opening brief, there are four different positions as to what claim a field should be construed as. Three of them are new. One of them is that fields should be construed as computer software fields. That was ICS's position in the proceedings below. The board rejected that proposal to construe fields as computer software fields, but they said, even if it is computer software fields, these are still patent and this is still patent ineligible subject matter. It only makes sense that if you're going to say that the entirety of your invention of fields is just computer software fields, that's by definition generic functionality that's well known. But elsewhere in their opening brief, on page 26, there's a statement that says fields should be construed to mean data comprised of label data and content data. On page 24, fields should be further construed as a delimited alphanumeric character string. Page 46, lexicographic definition of field in the 020 and 609 claims is field M equals label M content. Given that there are varying positions within one brief, I don't think it's credible to say that one of ordinary skill in the art, reading the word fields and the specification, would conclude that it's any one of these constructions of the word field. But it's an even simpler analysis than that. You look at the claims, it just says the word field or data field. And then you look at the specification, and then fields are described generically. Fields are essentially on a piece of paper when you go into an insurance office and you put down your first name in one box and your last name in another box. Those are fields. This alleged invention is about taking the information in those fields and transmitting it within the system. That's essentially all that ICS claims is their invention here. That's certainly an abstract concept. But if we go directly to the 101 analysis and we ask ourselves whether under the first step of Alice, what is the abstract idea that's being pursued by the claims here? The board found at Appendix 29 that the 020 patent was directed to the idea of transmitting or copying information from a source to a destination. That's well supported by the specification. And indeed, we had an expert. I know that there was a reference here to the Berkheimer decision. First of all, we don't think Berkheimer applies here. Berkheimer was on an entirely different forum and an entirely different posture. Here, there was an actual hearing. They had the opportunity to submit an expert report in response to ours. They didn't. We have an expert. We had an interpretation of the specification. There's substantial evidence supporting the board's findings that the claims are directed to an abstract idea. The 609 patent, the board found at Appendix 146, is directed to a process of receiving information, storing it, and determining which parts of it to enter into a display. But what's most notable is, I think, on page 9 of the reply brief, ICS itself says, go to page 9, I'm at the top half of page 9, about four lines down. The claims of the 020 and 609 patent are directed to the management of data. That is a clear concession that this is directed to an abstract idea. And in fact, ICS has gone even more abstract than where the board was. They just say the claims are about management of data. So there's no question the board's finding with respect to step one of Alice is supported by substantial evidence, and indeed here on appeal by the appellant's own statements. Now, with respect to the second step of Alice, neither patent does anything other than claim conventional computer elements like fields, servers, network devices, attachments, and the like. They're all arranged in a conventional manner. And the appellants never below argue that there was any special arrangement or anything special about any of the dependent claims. Again, just as they're doing here, they said everything rises and falls together.
Your opposing counsel today points to Claim 6 of the 020, reciting, quote-unquote, specialized software.
Right. There's nothing claimed about what makes that software special. I think it's just a statement that says it's specialized software that's on a server. I actually think maybe what was trying to be captured in the Claim 6 was the server element, but I don't think that there's any dependent or anywhere else in the patent the concept of what is covered by a specialized software. There are lots of different descriptions, but one of the descriptions that is in the patent that the board actually relied on was Lotus Notes. So Lotus Notes, which the patentee acknowledged predates these patents, was a type of software that could be through which the patent could be implemented. So it's not specialized software, and it's certainly not specialized software that the patentee actually invented.
What if it said inventive software?
Would that be
an inventive concept?
I don't think so. I don't think you can, by the words of the patent, just say, I'm claiming something inventive, because that would raise substantial preemption problems, and it would be, I think, sort of a snake eating its tail, right? You'd say, I've come up with something inventive, and the only reason I've come up with something inventive is because I've said I've come up with something inventive. We have tools just to write out what you think is inventive. You put that into the claim language, and that allows us to compare that to what's well known in the art. And that wasn't done here. And here it was just a reference to specialized software. In this section 101, on step 2 of Alice, with respect to section 101, there is a buffer computer argument that's new and should be rejected. That was not raised below. But even if it's considered, all that we, as far as we can interpret what's being proposed there, is the idea that a buffer computer would just be the use of two different computers to display different types of data. So in other words, you'd have you have one computer showing the x-ray and one computer showing the form that the x-ray pertains to. I'm not sure, because it's not actually claimed, but that seems to be roughly what is being described for the first time here on appeal as a buffer computer. With respect to the fields argument, which is also sort of recast as part of the second step of Alice, as I mentioned before, those are new arguments that shouldn't be considered. They fail on the merits because they're not actually a lexicographer or what this court has established as meaningful definitions in the specification itself. Field is just directed to nothing specific. It's just a box on a form or a box on a computer where you can enter data. And then finally, with respect to the second step of Alice, the patents are merely computerizing a manual process. What the patents actually talk about is there were well-known ways in the insurance industry to transmit electronic forms. If you need a medical procedure, you fill out a form. It went from your doctor's office to the insurance company for review electronically. That was well-known. You could mail the x-ray. That was obviously well-known. What the patents talk about is this results in a hybrid system, which when your x-ray gets to the insurance company, someone has to scan it and associate it with your form. And the patent says something akin to the next logical step is the computerization of this manual process, or what they call a hybrid process. The board's decision calls that out explicitly, but that's exactly what the patent attempts to do. And here, in the recitation of what Dr. DiRienzo says, the problem he says he was trying to solve, which is his mother, he sort of tells the story of his mother was going to get dental work. The dentist said it would take a delay of several weeks. The explanation was, I have to send her hard copy x-ray to the insurance company to get approval. And supposedly the light bulb went off with Dr. DiRienzo and said, well, what if we could computerize that and just send it all together? That's in their brief as their explanation of what it is that Dr. DiRienzo's alleged invention was directed to. I did want to talk briefly about Lech. Each of the arguments that they've presented with respect to Lech in their briefing are essentially irrelevant because, again, all of the patents are invalid under Section 101. So Lech is essentially a backup position. So both patents, all challenge claims are, we believe, not patentable subject matter under Section 101. With respect to the 020 patent, Lech anticipates many of the claims, and then Lech plus Beezer renders the remaining claims of the 020 obvious. And that's set out in our chart on page 15. The sort of relationship as to what arguments cover which claims. But At a high level, the arguments that ICS advances against Lesch fail for at least the following reasons. First, they rely on the Fields argument again. As we've said, that's a new argument that shouldn't be considered here. They're essentially just disagreements with the board's reasoning. That's this court reviews the board's findings for substantial evidence, and there's no question there's substantial evidence. And then finally, they're outright mischaracterizations of what Lesch actually discloses. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you very much. Ms. Ward?
Thank you, Your Honor.
You have a little over 5 minutes if you need the time.
I just have a few points. As Justice Chen pointed out, I think that at a minimum, after our review of Claim 6, if the court does find that the AIC software is specialized and not generic, then at a minimum, Claim 6 would survive.
Did you separately argue Claim 6 in your blue brief or below? I didn't see it,
yeah,
so I'm asking.
I do not think that we separately argued
Okay. Claim
6. It was just support that we put in for our... certainly we argued specialized software. That was, the fact that we consider the AIC software and the patent itself, as I said, mentions it over 50 times. It's not something that was available.
Just curious, there's a large family of patents associated with this spec.
Yes.
Are there other lawsuits involving this family of patents out there? Assume we affirm this today. Are there other lawsuits with respect to this family?
There is one pending in Dallas that I think would be affected. It's presently stayed.
Nothing else?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. But
okay.
If I'm incorrect, I will certainly let you know. But I do know that there's one in Texas where I think the 609 patent is also involved.
Yep.
And speaking of the large number of patents in this family, Dr. DiRienzo has obtained newer patents over rejections based on Alice and on art like Beezer and Leck. And as we all know, it's all in the claims. There's enough technology in this specification to support patents, but due to changes in how claims are interpreted in the interim since these issued, some claims are going to be invalid, and he certainly hopes that others will remain valid.
Those
and the
new
newer
patents
ones,
are all based on this specification?
There's about, I think, 14 in the family that are based on the original specification was filed in 96, and some are straight line continuations, some are continuations in part.
Okay.
I don't think there's much that we need to say about Leck and Beezer, because if you find that the software is not generic, then Leck and Beezer fall to the wayside, because they clearly do only relate to generic pieces and software. Mr. Kutry did make one point that I wanted to at least address shortly. It was about the equation, which they did below as well, that the fields in the DiRienzo patents are indistinguishable, or at least can be equated with the fields on a paper form. And if I could direct your attention back to column 13, that's appendix 208, starting at line 40. It will be appreciated that the PAC form, when displayed on the computer's screen 212, contains boxes such as those depicted in figure 5A and 5B. That's where you would enter information.
Those are the data fields?
They are not the data fields. Those are the boxes on the GUI, Your Honor, but the field is something different. And let me, if I could, go on, because it's explained here. So the computer screen contains boxes such as those depicted in figures 5A and 5B. in which alphanumeric characters can be entered so that when the characters are entered in these boxes, they are entered so as to fill a field, and field is in quotes, a delimited alphanumeric character string. Being a field, the information denoted by the characters can be transferred to and used in completing other fields in related documents. So this is not the same as simply scanning a paper form and then trying to locate information at some point on the form. These are dynamic fields that can be used elsewhere. And I guess my last point would be CNC has raised some concern about preemption. I'd say the concern is unjustified because these patents are relatively, maybe even very narrow, because they only address an incompatibility problem between a standard PC and a mainframe computer or legacy computers. And that's what they were intended to cover. That is what they cover. They don't preempt anything else. The fact of the matter is, these days, there would be no reason to implement this anymore. It's only for things, legacy systems that existed in the past.
Okay, we thank counsel for the arguments. This court now stays in recess.
All rise. The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at